It's Friday, August 26th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. I am a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. Strap in. We got a good one for you. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. I am Todd Cochran, the host of the Geek News Central podcast, and welcome all of my long-term listeners and everyone that's new. Hey, you subscribe to a great show, and make sure you stay subscribed. Fighting a little bit of a sore throat today. I don't know what is quite going on. I think me and my youngest one have it, so bear with me. I've got a glass of water here sitting, and hopefully we'll make it through the show without losing a voice. If you're a new subscriber, we want you to visit our main website at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there, along with the link to the older the archive podcast. And of course, we want to make sure that everyone that is listening to the show is going to be able to participate in our 100th show contest. And in order to do that, you're going to have to be a subscriber to our mailing list. So just look on the main website and you'll see a link to it says podcast newsletter underneath the Geek Navigation block. And that's where you go. And there's two signups there. One to get only the weekly newsletter that comes out from the basic with the show notes. And the other one is the interactive discussion where it's not real interactive. I think I've said that more than 100 times. But anyway, there's a choice there. Well, how's everyone doing? Are you ready for the weekend? I know that I am. And it's been a very busy week. You know, I kind of thought after we got done with the podcast awards, things would slow down. I thought I would get a little bit of a break, have a breather. It's just almost been the opposite. And I had a midterm I took this morning. I'm pretty happy with the results, I guess. A professor wrote me back a message on it, tell me what I got. So, It was a decent grade, so I'm pretty happy about that. The kids are back in school. My wife is really excited about that. But on Tuesday, and the Tuesday evening, I did a local access channel and did basically a full hour on podcasting with two other podcasters here from Hawaii, Ryan Azawa and Peter Kay. And I'll put their shows up in the show notes so that you guys can check out their two sites. I mean, Hawaii's got a very active podcasting community, and it's a small island, so we're all kind of close together, and we're able to hang out, and we're getting to know each other each other real well. So I know some of you there podcasters out there may not have that close community tie, but I encourage you to get all your local podcasters together and get together and have lunch or something sometime. It's a lot of fun. Now, yesterday, I did two interviews. I did one on the Computer Outlook show, and I did one on the Computer America show. So the Computer Outlook show was with John, I'm going to destroy his last name, Iazula, I think is how you pronounce that. And then Computer America was with Craig Crossman. So those were two good interviews and had a lot of fun doing those. Okay, I know I've been talking to a bunch of people over the last, at least the last month. And I put it kind of a teaser up on the website today, and I wanted to talk about this real quick tonight. And I had debated on whether I was going to write a big article on my website. But I put on your impact of podcasting on traditional tech shows and those streaming. I've been talking to a lot of people that have done tech shows long before podcasting really got kicked, was really hit the scene hot and heavy. And, really the only difference in podcasting is the delivery mechanism of the audio content and all the new, fresh, and exciting voices that are out there creating shows. And I was talking to, and it's talking to a variety of people, and I would say probably at least a dozen different people that produce content prior to podcasting kicking off. And everything I'm hearing from them is that their streaming numbers are down. I'm hearing that their audience numbers are down. Now, no one's saying that on the terrestrial side, anybody that has a terrestrial show, no one's saying that their numbers are down. But I do find it interesting that we're having an impact. And basically, it kind of boils down to, and I only talk to people that were in tech, is, you know, a year and a half ago, there may be, let's say, 25 shows that were being produced on technology that were, and there's probably more than that, but 25 big shows that were producing audio content on tech. And they're saying the numbers are down. You know, you look at the technology list now on some of the mailing or on some of the directories, and it's huge. You know, there's, someone said there's 800 technology shows. I don't know if there's that many, but there's plenty. So I think we're having an impact. But along with that, the long tail on this is that I don't think, based upon what I am seeing, that we're seeing a huge influx in listeners. Now, I think my listeners have about doubled since about the time the iTunes release was put out. But I think a lot of that is, I don't know how much more growth other people are seeing right now. And I'm wondering if the growth is going to flatten out a little bit. And the reason I think that, it goes contrary to a something I'm going to talk about later about some polls that have come out, is that the average age of the person, I'd like to know the average age of the person that owns a iPod or an MP3 player. I'm going to guess 30 and below is probably the big age group that own iPods. But every polling that I've seen that podcasters have done or that I did, 27 to 50 was kind of the range. So I know a lot of people are listening to podcasts on their PCs. Some are carrying it with them on their portable media device. But I think by and large, you know, and compare it to when I did a book signing a couple of weeks ago, very few people know what podcasting is all about. We have a long way to go to reach out and meet people. So I'm going to think about that a little bit, see what we can do to help it, to help make things more simple for just the average person to get a hold of this new great content that's out there. Okay, I have sitting on the desk here, and I'll probably go into some more on that in a later time, but I don't want to spend too much time on it tonight. Maybe I'll talk a little bit more about it. You guys feed me your feedbacks on what you think is happening in the space right now. If you got some ideas, what you're listening to, have you narrowed down your listening menu, or are you continue to listen to a lot of new different podcasts, or have you kind of settled into a number of steadies? I've got 5 CDs here from the Reverse Engine U's. They're Max Q CD release. They're all autographed by Charles, Daniel, and William. And these are going to be given away on our 100th show. I'm going to play a track from their CD at the end of the show tonight. This is in the lead up to our 100th show. Hey, I have been getting, my email inbox has been slammed, absolutely slammed. And some of you, I have not been able to respond as quick as I could. I apologize in advance. It's just, it's kind of the beast right now of having 200 to 300 valid emails to respond to every day, from people wanting information on podcasts, talking about the show, et cetera. So I apologize. But what I do want to do is I want to save you some money. Get your own piece of the internet now at GoDaddy.com. The perfect way to start is with your own .com name, and my friends at GoDaddy make it fast, fun, and affordable. Right now, .com names are just $3.99 when you purchase any other product. Plus, my listeners get an additional dollar off. Just enter Geek2, that's G-E-E-K, and the number 2 as your source code. For .coms, it's GoDaddy.com. And don't forget, if you're out there buying multiple domains, use the source code Todd, T-O-D-D. That'll save you 10%. That one's still good too, okay, folks? All right, what else? Hey, I wanted to go quickly. I know we picked up a lot of new listeners, and I just want to give maybe a minute's worth of introduction on who I am. I know we're already 10 minutes in, but a lot of you have no idea who I am. Basically, I live here in the beautiful state of Hawaii, and I work in the aviation industry. I've basically been involved in technology ever since I basically left school. I'm a user of technology, and I dabble in new technologies, so I get to check out a lot of new cool stuff. Along with that, back in the day when BBSs were large and happening, I ran a online bulletin board system. It was actually, it's still online today at bbsnets.com. It's right down here by my foot, running on an old box that someday will die, and then the BBS will die. But I've been producing Geek News Central weblog now for 3.5 years, I guess, and started podcasting almost, but not quite, 1 year ago. We'll be, you know, we're getting close to that 1 year anniversary, and it's going to be after the 100th show, unfortunately. But that's kind of a little bit of a background on me. And you know, obviously, as we go on, and those of you who are new, you'll learn a little bit about me and my family. And of course, we're going to talk a lot about tech. All right, I've rambled enough, but I do want to encourage you guys to come out and sign up for our event coming up on Saturday, September 3rd. And we've got some great stuff lined up, and I want to tell you all about that. All right, everybody, the next promotion with GoToMeeting continues on September 3rd when we will have another live event with the TechPodcast.com Roundtable. Members will be demonstrating the power of RSS and how it has changed the way we consume online content. We're going to demonstrate TechnoRaddy, PubSub, Feedster, amongst many other great RSS tips and tricks using various news aggregators. In addition, we will show you how to use Dave Weiner's new scripting/OPML editor in a collaborative way. Finally, you will not want to miss the hack we have uncovered that will allow you to use the Microsoft Word Blogger plugin with any weblog. We will ensure that everyone that attends goes away understanding the power of real simple syndication. This promotion, sponsored by GoToMeeting, allows us to share our screens in a unique web conference application. You can try GoToMeeting for your own needs free for 30 days. See the show notes to sign up for the event and visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for your free trial. Again, make sure you sign up for the event via the link we provided within the show notes or directly at techpodcast.com. Okay, I've got a bunch of listener email. Actually, not a lot. I got three, I think, here that I need to go over. Got one from Ben, and he's got a cool tool for those of you that are involved in doing web-based time tracking system. He's developed a web-based time tracking system for consultants. And if you have a business where that requires you to bill clients by the hour, check out his website at timeandinfo.com. That's timeandinfo.com. Thanks, Ben, for being a listener, and I'm more than happy to promote people's businesses and give a little free airtime to those of you that are out there listening to the show. Tim had questioned me. I had forgotten to put the listing to the MXL microphone that he reviewed, and I'm going to put that in the show notes today. I apologize for not having that up there. And I'll get that up as soon as possible. And, oh, I guess the other one is not. It's just a personal email. I threw it over there by mistake. Okay, well, let me see here. I've got a whole bunch of stuff to go into. A lot of exciting things going on in the world of tech. Happened, of course, first of the week. As soon as I got done with the show, all this great stuff came out. And I missed this. I wish I would have got it downloaded. There's an application that is called Flickrbar. And it's a plug-in for Firefox. Now, this thing was available earlier today when I found it, and now when I go to their site, I see a notice that says, download removed at the request of Flickr, more to come. Apparently, someone had a cool application that you would extension plug-in for Flickr, and I'm sure this is going to make its way around the net because people have already downloaded it, but Flickrbar is, Flickrbar. I'll put the link up in the show notes. Hopefully, they'll get that back up. For those of you that are Flickr users, hopefully you'll be able to use this in the near future. Now, we talked about the Google Talk starting last show, but in, of course, that very morning when I woke up after producing the show, I had about, I'm not kidding, I had like 50 invites to Google Talk in my inbox. Everybody was saying, yeah, it's up, it's available, go get it. I went ahead and I downloaded it, I installed it, and I think I've got 4 or 5 people that are linked to me on it. It is the it is the most sad instant message client I have ever used. They definitely did not spend a lot of time putting this thing together. It sucks. I have not used the voice over IP portion of it yet. I haven't tried that. So I have heard a few people say that it does not compare to Skype. So I guess your mileage is going to vary there. Okay. So, but I did install the Google Desktop version 2. And the only thing that I really don't like about this application, and I actually set the default so it doesn't take up my side a room in my sidebar, but when you load it, it gives you it tries to put it in default in the sidebar. It takes up like an inch and a half of your screen, and it's got all these like news feed, special events. It's got a image viewer. It's got all this bloat. It really, really does. And I actually removed about 5 or 6 items from the actual bar. I didn't really need to have any stock information or anything like that. You know, it is kind of cool that it is indexing a lot more files, but it isn't cool in what they went overboard on this a little bit. Now, I think your mileage is going to vary. Let me know what you think of the beta, the Google Desktop version 2. You can find that at desktop.google.com, of course, and play with it. Now, I did find one function that was kind of cool. I don't have to log in and check my RSS AdSense revenues anymore. They've got a plug-in to be able to do that. I can see how very little we're actually making on Google AdSense. But anyway, it's okay. You know, for what they've done, and you know, they've made some great advancements there. It does have something I do think is kind of annoying in that every time a Gmail email comes in, it kind of pops up a little box and says, you got a new email. So I had to figure out how to get that suppressed so it wasn't cluttering up my desktop every, 2 minutes with another email come in. Now, some of you probably will really like it. I do think some of you will, but I don't know. I just hate stuff that clutters up the desktop. If they would have made it really cool, they'd have made it so we could have used all of our Gmail accounts. Now, I know none of us have more than one, right? And, of course, you can always reach me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, how many of you have gotten, probably all of you out there, the majority at least, have a credit card. And have you gotten those, you get your credit card in the mail, and a few days later, a little piece of paper comes with your PIN number on it. Apparently, there's been some research done where it's showing that poor printing is actually exposing the PIN numbers on those pieces of paper. Now, I think it would be pretty hard for a crook to collect those PIN numbers and then figure out which credit card it went with. But it's another security concern that you're going to have to pay attention to. So I want you to make sure that you're changing your PIN numbers out there. Don't leave them as they come default. Make sure you change them. There was a posting on Business Week talking about a gentleman that complained about his Dell computer. And it's actually on a very popular web blogger's website called Buzz Machine. And he started basically he bought a machine on sale, like $1,600 computer. And it had some problems. I guess it would shut down on him just with no unknown reason. He had paid for an extended warranty where they were supposed to do in-home repairs. And they basically said, no, we're not going to come and fix it in your home. You're going to have to send it in. So he sent it in, and when he got it back, it still wasn't working. And he's basically was been complaining to Dell. Well, apparently on August 22nd, he got a refund on his PC that he had bought. Now, I don't know what if he had to send it back or what. But obviously, Jeff Jarvis, which is a very popular blogger. Okay, he has a lot of readers. So obviously, Dell took, issue and fixed it for him. Now, I've done my fair share of complaining about companies when I've had some issues. And I've been very vocal about it. And sometimes I've gotten some responses, and sometimes I had some responses that were very good, which resulted in changes. The companies made fundamental changes to the way they did customer service. So I think it's good. But of course, I have a pretty good following on my website too. But how many people that have, that aren't so well followed on their websites, if they were complaining, would be able to get the same attention? I think it'd be great to have like a clearinghouse weblog where people could come in And as long as they had a legitimate complaint where they could post something, the full history, and this is where where bloggers and where people have to keep track of who they talk to, when they talk to them, what was said, times, dates, the whole nine yards. Keep a little diary of your customer service problems. That way, if we find a way to basically put these issues up on the sites, if companies aren't responding, and I always recommend people try to go to the companies and talk to them first and work your way up management if you can. And if they don't, then blast them on a blog, okay? But have your facts in order. And I guess if anyone's having any issues, before we can put something in place, or if someone has some ideas on that, send them to me. I'll see what I can do about getting you some help, okay? But have your facts all squared away. And it just, companies need to be responsible to their customers. And I understand that there's a point where, sometimes customers take advantage of companies, and we have to watch that too. But it's important that we hold people's feet to the fire when it comes to products and services. I've learned about a new software application that actually is more than a software application. They're using it within in companies and enterprises to shut down technologies that are built into your cell phones. A lot of companies do not like you to walk in with a camera, Bluetooth, all these extra applications that are basically could be used to steal company secrets and, that type of information. I know that there's places I go where I'm not allowed to walk in even with my cell phone. I have to leave it in the car or whatever because they don't allow cell phones in a building. So this new service or this new company is called Credent, shuts down the Windows phone cameras, Bluetooth, etc. This is an article that was on Engadget. I found pretty interesting in what they're doing there, and that it allows people to walk in with their phones, but what they've done there is it will actually shut down the devices and won't allow them to work. Now, there's a little more to it than that, but go ahead and check out this article on Engadget. Sirius has come out with a wearable satellite radio, which is okay, I guess. It's smaller than a 60 gig iPod. It's $360, and there's a docking station that comes with it too for another $100. And it looks like they're saying the antenna can be a little annoying, but this is supposedly going to be available around October. So those of you that are outside a lot or want a portable Sirius, portable radio, this would be a device for you to have. And I think this would be kind of cool for like farmers and such, because they could, while they're out there doing agriculture work, instead of listening to the four or five stations that they may be able to get within their tractors and their cabs, be able to listen to satellite radio. So from machine to machine and construction workers, etc. So pretty cool little tool, and it's going to be coming out in October. Big news of the day on the web blogging front is that MobileType is version 3.2 is now available. Six Apart has announced that they have released it. I will probably wait until the weekend or maybe early next week before I update my website. Looks like there's a little bit of work involved, and there might be some tags that have to be changed, but this is a complete overhaul of the complete interface. They're going to, they've made it easier to upgrade. There's going to be unlimited blogs for even the personal edition. They're giving a discount out now for those of you that have been sitting on version 2.0 or 2.6. And if you're tight on funds, go over there and score that $30 discount. All of your blogs in one place. They've got better community management, new smart styles. It's got a new generation of plugins. So I think this is going to be a good release, and I'm looking forward to playing around with it. And as soon as I do, obviously, I'm going to be putting up some notes about it and let you know what I think. So you MobileType users, head over there to Six Apart and download MT version 3.2. Over on smartmobs.com, I found a report that's titled the OECD's Communications Outlook 2005 Report. And what this report is it's a summary of what is going on with voice IP and how it's affecting the revenues of traditional carriers, especially for international calls, What is happening is and this report concludes that voice IP is becoming adapted by so many people that your local carriers who, when you sign up for your, you know, have a regular landline, you get taxed, and a lot of that tax goes to maintaining their copper lines, etc. Well, a lot of countries and a lot of telephone companies in other countries, including in the United States, are seeing a decrease in the number of people using regular copper landlines, and everyone's going to voice IP. Thus, those revenues are being threatened in the upkeep of the lines, and all thing that goes associated with the infrastructure. So there's some big concern about this, and on a per capita basis, Denmark, Poland, and the Netherlands are the largest users of services like Skype, and they basically have bypassed completely all of the regular telcos. So the question is, at what point does telephone companies completely become obliterated? They're no longer used for telephones. They're just used for connecting to the internet. How is that going to change the tax infrastructure in how we are charged for using those types of services and maintaining those lines? Because the telephones companies serve in the public interest, at least here in the United States, and they have to provide the services in a dial tone and good connectivity, et cetera. Now, obviously, a lot of us are bypassing these services. Some people are using a DSL, obviously, so they're probably paying a surcharge on that. But those of us that are on cable, you know, we basically are routing around the phone company and not using them. We're really not, ultimately, because at some point the signal jumps back on a regular carrier line. But I'm just wondering what impact in the long term is going to have for all of us using voice IP services. I'd like some of you guys to give me some feedback. What do you think is going to happen? And do you think that it serves the phone companies right for gouging us for all these years with these taxes and basically not improving the infrastructure very much? Now, some are going to say, well, that's not true. We've put in all kinds of fiber. Well, the fiber's been for data, not necessarily for voice, even though they're doing a lot of converting now, and your voice is basically traveling as a digital cut, as a packet going across the wires versus analog, obviously. Okay, over on the Blog Herald is a very interesting article, and it's titled, "Spam Blog Creators Are Panicking Over Spam Blog Crackdown. Is This the End of Spam Blogs?" Apparently, Google is cracking down on spam blogs, and I'm going to just give a nice clap here to Google for doing that, along with blogging companies are also going out and killing the spam blog accounts, and they're doing it at a very, very fast pace. But I really don't want to read this article verbatim, but there is an interesting email that the author of this, he was basically subscribed to an email list that was talking about blogging and what is going on with spam blogs. And what I found shocking was this, and I don't know how much truth there is to it, and I don't know how much money these guys are making, but it says, "My friend emailed me today and told me that his AdSense fell from $1,000 a day to $100 in the last couple of days." Oh, too bad. He went from 1,000 to 100. Doesn't that just break everyone's heart, these spammers? But to think that they could make $1,000 a day from doing this, just rakes my coals. There needs to be, this needs to be gone after more aggressively. But what they're, further down in the letter or in the email, it says the handwriting is on the wall and it's time for the next big thing. And then the number one period. "We hope to have Blogburner set up to stop using Blogger by Wednesday, Thursday at the least." And someone person named Nana has come up with an absolute brilliant way to replace the blog post altogether. So what does that mean? Are they going to be coming in? Are they going to be hacking weblog accounts? So everyone keep their eyes peeled. These guys, I'm not doubting that they are going to do everything they can to... But that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it could. They could, if they got into systems and hacked people's websites and changed their linking over to other sites, it could definitely do some damage. But everyone keep their eyes peeled and we'll see what happens with that. Okay, here's some information on, I found that this is a website that's called A Long Tail. I love this website's name. I think it's a great, great name. Here is a article that's titled Just Enough Piracy, and I want you to think about this a little bit. We all know that everyone's out there, not everyone, but a lot of people are using P2P networks to download audio, videos, movies, software, you name it. And there's all kind of hacks, there's kind of key gens, you name it, all kinds of stuff out there to allow people to obtain software, programs, music that they haven't bought, okay? I know a lot of people do it. But what is being said in this article is that companies have basically come to accept that. And what they're going to do is, because they know there are people out there that pay for all this software, they're going to start raising the price of that software, because they know they're going to pay for it anyway, to kind of allow them to make up some of those losses, and at the same time get a premium on the charges that they're making you and I pay for software on. The points that this gentleman makes in his posting makes a lot of sense. Now, I'm going to let you guys go over there and read the whole thing, and it just shows you the thought process on companies and how they, you know, they're saying, okay, yeah, we accept the piracy, and we're going to go ahead and just charge a little more to those that we know are going to pay it anyway. And, you know, it's basically they're going to pay the premium for the piracy. And they kind of are implying that they kind of like it. A little piracy is okay. I don't know about this, okay? So go ahead and check it out. Read it. Great article, though. Okay, those of you, I'm still getting people that are asking me for Gmail accounts, and here's a skinny on how you can get a Gmail account without asking me for one, okay? There's an article over on Ars Technica that talks about Gmail opens to the public, but the only thing you're going to have to give up is you're going to have to give up your mobile phone number to them, and they'll instant message you the code to be able to get you in to sign up a Gmail account. So they say they're not going to use your phone number, and they're not going to sell it to any third party. They are going to be retaining the phone numbers to limit the number of signups. So I guess however you feel about this, I'll let you guys decide if you want to do that or not. But currently, you can sign up as many as 10 accounts with one phone number. So if those of you are still desperate for a Gmail account, that's the way to get it. Now, I do have some. You can send them to me, request at geeknews@gmail.com. And I usually, about every 3 or 4 days, I will what I will do is I will send out all the invites. I do that in batches is what I do. Okay, Hitachi is going to unleash a terabyte DVD recorder. What do you guys think about that? Now, the price tag on it, and it's going to be available initially in Japan next month for 230,000 yen, which is $2,089. Okay, a gig. The company unveiled plans to ship a new hard disk drive DVD recorder that can store 1 terabyte of data on 2 500-gigabyte hard disk drives. And that's enough space for 128 hours of high-definition broadcasting, according to the good folk over at Reuters who did the math. And this was found at news.com. I'll let you read the rest of the article on your own. But wow! A terabyte and a DVR. Is that awesome or what? But they say DVD recorder. So it's going to include a DVD recorder along with it. That is so cool. Totally cool. And it's basically focused at those of you that have high-definition TV. So I wonder when this is going to be available in Europe. Hitachi did not say when the terabyte machine would be available in the United States or Europe. Well, I think when my wife goes to Japan again, that's still a lot of money. A lot of money. I don't think she would go for it. That would be one of those purchases that would get the look, you know, that she'd put the face down and give me the look. Now, I know a good number of you use voice IP, and I know most of you have already probably acknowledged that there's going to be some obstacles with 911 calls, but there's in August 29th, if you have not responded to the FCC that you are aware that there are obstacles to reaching 911 through your service, they're going to cut off your voice IP service. So you've probably gotten emails from your service provider saying that you've got to acknowledge this. And if you don't, they're going to cut your voice IP service off, okay? So if you have a concern on this, please read this article, okay? I'm sure that there is going to be a lot of upset people, and probably people that don't read weblogs, but, you know, or don't listen to my podcast are going to be basically in trouble here in a few days. So make sure you check out this article that's linked up on the show notes. I told you at the beginning of the show that I would talk about a couple of surveys that are out. One of them is from eWeek, and it's titled, What Blogs, Podcast Feeds Mean to the Bottom Line, feeds being RSS feeds. And it is saying that the average consumer of blogs, RSS/XML feeds, and podcasts are male and earn big bucks. Well, I don't know if we earn big bucks, okay? I have to work like a dog. I know the rest of you probably have to also. But what I find interesting in this article is that it's saying that older people like their feeds while younger users are tuning into audio. RSS/XML feed users are most likely to be in the age range of 35 to 44, while blogs and podcasts are most appealing to people between the ages of 18 and 34. I don't agree. Podcasts, I think, are more 27 to 50 is what I've seen. And RSS readers, I don't know what the age range is. But I know the majority of you, at least when we did our poll back in April, were in the age range of 27 to 50. So I don't know if I agree with that completely. You don't hear too many podcasts being done by people in the 18 to 25 range. At least I'm not hearing too many. So I guess, and are they consumable? I don't know. I'll let you guys read this article. It's pretty good info, and it's going to help for those of you that are looking to make build a media kit. And it's got a lot of cool little stats in it. It talks about some demographics of what they think the average weblog reader is. And I know some of you probably don't really understand RSS. Some of you probably come to my site and read the weblog every day manually. I think that's important for those of you that want to really find out what's going to be happening or how to use a news aggregator effectively, how to refine some of your searches of items that you're interested in. This thing that we're going to have on September 3rd, this live event we're going to have on September 3rd, is really going to help those of you out that want to really get in the nit and gritty. And I think it'll help those of you that are blogging, too, to be able to find better content quicker, faster, and, you know, not waste as much time going through websites every day. Now, there was a Nielsen Net Ratings that came out that says that 4.9% use feed aggregation software to monitor RSS feeds for blogs. Yes, there was only 1,000 people they polled. That's tiny. And 6.4% said they use a feed aggregator website to monitor. Now, that would be an application like Bloglines. And along with that, I've heard of RSS and know what it does, but don't use RSS feeds, 23%. I've heard of RSS, but don't know what it does. That's 15. And over 50% said I've never heard of RSS before today. So if you have family members that don't know what RSS is, but you want to get them clued in, we'll help them out there, okay? We'll help get this Nielsen rating so that I've never heard of RSS before. We'll get that number knocked down a little bit. All right, Nick Bradbury, good announcement on his site. Feed Demon version 1.6 beta 3 is available. Lots of fixes. Nick has been busy. I did not download it. I missed this. And I have like 20 articles opened up. So as soon as I get done with the podcast tonight and get it published and all the links transferred into the weblog, I'm definitely going to upload or download beta 3 and install that and see how it works. Okay, PC World is reporting that Microsoft is going to release an anti-phishing tool before IE version 7 comes out. And what this is going to be, it's going to be an add-on for the MSN search toolbar. Now, I think I heard about this before, but apparently it's going to be available very shortly. We're going to be in beta next month. For those of you that are not familiar with what phishing is, and if you're using Internet Explorer, you need to read this article, okay? And first of all, if any of my listeners are still using Internet Explorer, just hold your hand out, smack it once, and go download Firefox and get converted over there. It'll be the best choice you ever make, okay? So I'll link this up in the show notes. Check it out. Should be good info. Okay, studios are mining. They're going through the logs of P2P sites that they were able to acquire via some lawsuits earlier this year. And apparently, they have submitted 286 lawsuits against people around the United States based on information they collected from the LockiTorrent. And what other website was it? It was one other website, I believe. Supernova and LockiTorrent were the two websites that were taken down and acquired by the Hollywood and I guess it was by the MPAA. So they have basically and are aggressively going after people that they have found in those weblogs that were doing all kinds of trading of copyrighted material. So we'll see how much they go after these guys for. I'm sure we'll never hear how much, because once they stick their 40 lawyers on you, you don't have much choice. Okay, I'm running long already. I need to get through this. Tech Dirt is reporting that Motorola has decided to throw a hat in the ring into offering cellular phones that are going to track your kids. I don't know about you, but I don't like that. I don't know if I would. Do you guys track your kids with a cell phone? Do you guys subscribe to some of those services? You know, I don't know. I don't. Come on. You raise your kids so you don't have to have them tracked, okay? They can have a cell phone to call home when there's an emergency. But tracking? Oh, boy. Now, then again, my 9-year-old, I don't know how she's... she may have to have one of those phones. Oh, gosh, I'm just kidding. Okay, ISPs are finally realizing that people need to... that people understand the word unlimited, and they're starting to remove that from some of their... marketing material, because people are taking their word literally and are using their internet connections 24/7, transferring data and moving it back and forth, which I do a lot of that. So I'm thinking that I hope this is not a trend that the cable people are going to get into, but I'm wondering if this is a trend that dial-up services are going to get into. But there's a bunch of links to articles that are referenced off this page. So those of you that are concerned about that should go over and check that out. And some news today that was actually real good. The courts have ruled, and they've actually reversed a decision that was made earlier that allowed Storage Tech to sue companies that were basically servicing devices that came from their company. And the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals has reversed that trial court's order. So that is good news that third parties now can lawfully repair and maintain another company's software under, and basically it's a section in of the Copyright Act. But I think that's good news, and it's something that is a good interpretation of the DMCA and a win for the good guys on that one. Those of you that are developers, you need to go over and check out the API that has been released by NewsGator. NewsGator Technology announces the NewsGator Online API, and the API is going to give developers access to the proven and highly scalable NewsGator Online platform to support the development of new and innovative RSS-related applications. That's cool. I'm glad to see that they're doing that, and I'm hoping more companies are going to open up their API so that we can have all kinds of great services built around some of these good or some of these great products. Okay, folks, that's all I've got tonight, and I'm long on time, so I'm not going to be able to play any of the promos that you submitted. I've got 4 in the queue. We'll get them out on the next show. I want to thank everyone for being part of Ohana and being part of our big family here, and thanks for staying subscribed. And as always, you can reach me at geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call me on the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Call up, drop a rant, question, comment, a tip, trick, whatever you may want. Or you can Skype me at Geek News Central. And if you have a podcast, send it to geeknewspromo@gmail.com. I apologize for not getting the promos in tonight. I'm already at 45 minutes. Got to play the CD from the Reverse Engineers, Max Q. Great tracks in this. And they gave us 5 to give away on 100th show. If you want to give something away on 100th show, drop me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. And give me a few days to answer it, because I've been just absolutely slammed with email. So we'll get a response to you as soon as possible. But hey, here comes Mercury in Retrograde from the Reverse Engineers in their album Max Q. We'll be right back.
they to me? Servants to expel you. You can't flee Mercury in retrograde. You can't flee Mercury. You can't flee Mercury. You can't flee Mercury.
I'm going to sit here and listen to the rest of the CD while I get the podcast put together. And all of you, have a great weekend. We'll see you next Tuesday. And let's start with Sunshine with the... What is this? Sunshine with the Shade. Sunshine with the Shade. Okay, you can find their CD at www.thereverseengineers.com. Aloha, folks. See you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.